Our sister Cheryl's sick. We should have prayed for her, but she said she's going to join us online. I don't know if you can tell if she's online or not. But she may not know quite how, but hopefully she can figure it out. Larry, is the place you're working in air conditioned? Where you're painting at? Are you outside?
No, I'm outside.
You're outside? You've had a hot week, haven't you?
Not too bad.
Not too bad? Okay. Oh, good.
Not too bad.
Good.
I mean, it was hot, but
yeah.
Had plenty of conditioning.
Well, we are in 2 Corinthians 12, but I want us to look at Acts chapter 14 to start our time together today. If you would, turn to Acts 14. I think that's where I wanted to go. Yeah, Acts 14. But anyway, we're working our way through 2 Corinthians, and we're trying to become ministry-minded. Yep. Leo and Amita, you guys moved on us. You're in the back row now. Man, Teresa's a bad influence. She converted him to... The next step is out the door. I mean, if you keep going, don't do that. But, no, this is a... It's interesting just to hear the prayer request because, you know, most of the time it's our sicknesses, it's our infirmities, it's just the issues of life that cause us to reach out to the Lord. And that is the kind of the theme of today. You know, one of the most dangerous times is really when everything's going well because, you know, you feel like you don't need God or, you know, you're self-sufficient or... You know, so when you're, you know, there's money in the bank and food on the table and, you know, no issues in the relationships, then it's time to kind of beware. But today Paul gives glory to his weakness, his infirmities, because he says when he's weak, then God is strong and he's able to go to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And so that's our time that we draw close to the Lord is those times of, you know, difficulties. So no matter what our need is today, we lean on the Lord and nod to our own understanding and acknowledge Him in all our ways. And in Acts 14 is Paul, I think you know this, the Jewish method of killing people, you know, capital punishment was stoning. And so he was stoned at least once here in Acts 14. And I'll read 19 and 20 of chapter 14 of Acts. It says, "And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." And, you know, when we read what we're going to read today, Paul's going to say he knew a man about 14 years ago that was caught up to the third heaven. And we think he is kind of talking in third person about himself. And we think it's talking about this event here. And he heard things that were unspeakable. They were unlawful for him to talk about. But, you know, the Bible says that eye is not seen and ear is not heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And I think that verse is in my lesson today. I didn't quote it just right, but, you know, when we think about what heaven will be like and what Paul must have seen, I really think it's wild that he's not sure if he died and went to heaven or maybe just was unconscious and came back resuscitated, you know. But what was weird about that And I don't know if you and I would have done this. It says that after he got stoned and the disciples stood around him, I don't know if they were praying over him or just like, man, our love, Paul's dead. But when he came back up, he went back into the city. The same people that... So you almost think, well, if he thought he died and went to heaven, maybe he wanted him to finish the job. You know what I mean? He went back in.
Experienced heaven.
Yeah, it's like, man, I want to go back to heaven. And see, you know, send me there again.
Another cool little note. He went from Antioch to Derby the next day. That's almost 150 miles.
It's right above it there.
Antioch to Derby.
Yeah.
Huh. There's another Antioch here, so it could have been that. It said Antioch and Iconium, so it may have been, but either way, yeah, it's quite a journey. And so, yeah, that's pretty wild. Paul was very bold, wasn't he? And so, anyway, he left with Barnabas and to Derbe. So, Now let's go to 2 Corinthians and let's read, because I think that story is the story that he's referencing in 2 Corinthians 12. It's the most logical, and it could have been, you know, I think scholars are kind of divided, but most people think that that is the occasion and that Paul is talking about himself. And so let's...
You think he would have went to Barnabas' house in the city?
Is that where Barnabas is from?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. He found lodging wherever he went. But Kevin, why don't we start up here with you? If you're in 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll just read verses 1, 2, and 3. How about that? Maybe and 4. 1, 2, 3, and 4.
It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such a one caught up to the third heaven.
Verse 4.
Okay. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. That he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. So we're going to break this down a little bit. So he has, you know, he's reluctant. He says it's not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. And you know, most of us, we like to talk about things like this. He had some visions. I had you put that in your first blank. He had these visions and revelation. And one thing I read said that they think he had at least six visions from the Lord. I wrote down three or four of them there as a reference. Remember, in one vision he saw the man of Macedonia. They call it the Macedonian call, where he goes to Philippi and he was jailed with Silas, and the Philippian jailer gets saved, and kind of the introduction to the gospel into the continent of Europe. And so we like to think about things like this, but he's really going to say that he glories in his infirmities and his weaknesses. And in chapter 11, remember, he just went through all these perils at sea and perils of hunger and you know, imprisonments and all these things that he went through. And but he will say that he had these visions and revelation. And so some of this that we're going to see here is talking about his revelation that he had. And it was about 14 years ago. And I don't have my Bible that has dates. If you have dates at the top of your Bible, does anybody have dates at the top of their Bible? Yeah, my other Bible has it. But I think Acts 19 that we just read was around 45 A.D. So it's right. If we think Galatians or 2 Corinthians was written around 60 A.D. and he said this was 14 years ago, it's pretty close to 45 A.D., which is, you know, Acts 19. So the time lines up, the events of Paul's life line up. And so he says this was about 14 years ago that Kevin read. And he had these visions and revelations. And he says it's one that's caught up to the third heaven. And I guess I better give you this. The second blank was just the word stoned. And that was... you know, his near-death experience, whether he died or he says he was in the body or out of the body, he didn't know. But I think I brought my blue letter Bible here. And I was going to have us look at 2nd. I know you can't see it very good. I'll make it bigger here in a second. I don't know if you guys ever use stuff like this, but...
I got mine up, Steve.
Do you?
Which one are you looking at?
I got it here, brother. So this 2 Corinthians 12:4, where he was caught up, you know, that's the same word that we have in... you know, 1 Thessalonians 4, where, you know, we talk about the rapture. And so Paul had some kind of rapture experience. And this is what I thought was kind of interesting. Just this definition was just to seize or carry off by force. I don't know if you guys can all see that very good. Yeah, that little word caught up, the Greek word means to... And so at death, Paul was caught up. He was seized. He was taken by force to... And that may be a little bit like the rapture. God's going to... It's kind of like, remember Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel had to take them out of Sodom so that they could destroy the city. And Lot wanted to stay, so he was kind of taken by force. And so sometimes, I mean, you picture the rapture a little bit like that, that, you know, we want to hang on to this world, and God's just going to have to take us and seize us and snatch us away. And so anyway, I just thought that was interesting there. But this is the only reference, I think, in the Bible where it mentions this third heaven. And I know we've seen stuff like this, but if we picture, you know, Earth down here, and you know, it's got a lopsided look like an egg, doesn't it? But I think our Earth's atmosphere is about, you know, 6 or 8 miles. I don't know how thick it is, but essentially that's the first heaven where the birds fly. And then we have the moon and the stars, you know, and the sun. And that's really the second heaven, isn't it?
The galaxy or the space.
And then we have the third heaven where God is. And there's places that mentions these three, but it's kind of good to be reminded of these things. Just And so Paul, you know, is stoned to death down here on planet Earth, and he was caught up. He was taken up to the third heaven. And what Kevin read there is that in verse 4, he heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. And so...
I think that word is Yahweh.
Which word?
Unspeakable words, because they weren't allowed to say Jehovah or something.
That may be some connected with the unspeakable. Yeah, because it mentions the law there, so maybe it's not. Yeah. I know the scribes, I think, would have to wash their hands before they could write the word even. Something like that. So it's just a wonderful experience that he had, and he knows that God knows if he was, he said twice there, he doesn't know if he was alive or dead, in the body or out of the body. But he mentions this, there's another word here in verse 4 that Kevin read, this thing called paradise. And that's in our Bible three times. And the other time, you remember the thief on the cross, where, you know, the thief is there. And we watched the Jesus film yesterday. And it had the two thieves on the cross. And the one is mocking the Lord. And the other, you know, is like, you know, we're here justly, but this man's done no wrong. And he says, you know, Lord, he calls him Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And remember, what does Jesus say to him? Do you remember? Today, yeah, you're going to be with me in paradise. And,
It says part of Hades, which was thought by later Jews to be the abode of souls of Pontus, or until the resurrection, but some understand this to be a heavenly paradise.
Yeah.
I was looking at it in the definition.
Yeah, so there's the three mentions.
3857.
Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And then the one we're looking at here. And then in Revelation it talks about it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So, let me click on that word. I'm trying to think if it's... Yeah, it's only three times.
That's good. Five meetings.
Yeah, there's your... but now, the Bible says in Peter... Can you give me a drink? The Bible says in Peter that when Christ died, he went and preached to the spirits that are in prison.
That's why I picked that one.
Yeah. And so... if you think about this, he died on the cross, and he was
Abraham.
Yeah. Let's all look at look with me at whoop.
Sorry.
I didn't. I kind of turned around too quick. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 with me. This is very interesting. I'm going to go there with you. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see, Galatians. I guess it's right before Corinthians. Just a second here.
You say it's right before Corinthians?
I'm sorry, it's right after Christians. Just a minute. Ephesians, Philippians. There we go. It's on the handout, but... all right, it's verses 8, 9, and 10.
Which one are we in?
Ephesians 4.
All right, Belinda, yeah, if you got that.
Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up from the far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Yeah. So this is a parenthesis, but we know in Acts chapter 1, the Lord ascended up into heaven as his disciples watched him, and he said he would come back in like manner. But in verse 9, it said that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth. And so, you know, what we think is, and I gave you some examples. Kevin mentioned that this is called Abraham's bosom. And I gave you some notes about the word bosom. The word bosom is used to show a close relationship with, like when someone raised a sheep and they carried it in their bosom, and so they kept it close to them. And so this paradise or Abraham's bosom was the place where righteous souls went before Christ's resurrection. So Old Testament saints were taken to paradise or Abraham's bosom. And what it says there in Ephesians 4 that Belinda read is that Christ descended into the lower parts of the earth and he led captivity captive, it says. In verse 8, he led so they were captive there. They were confined to this paradise, and it's a place of comfort and rest. And they were cared for in Abraham's bosom, but it said that he led them, he ascended with them. And so what we understand by that is that now paradise, and I think I'm misspelling that, but paradise is up there now. And so Paul was caught up to the third heaven. So paradise, at least in the center of the earth, Abraham's bosom, is probably empty right now. And hopefully that makes sense. I think that's what I had you put your next blank was just the word empty. I know that's kind of deep and maybe, but I think it really adds to this story to lay some of these things out. Does anybody have any questions or thoughts as we're looking at that?
It reminds me of the journey to the center of the earth.
Yeah. The movie?
Yeah.
I know there was a book about that too.
It would be like a paradise. That's how they portrayed it.
Hmm. It kind of opened up into a...
Yeah.
Did you see it too?
It reminds me of a picture I have in my bedroom.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So,
what'd you want?
Anyway, obviously, we want to be in paradise with the Lord, and Paul heard unspeakable things, and it was not lawful for him to speak about, so it is wonderful and glorious, and he was caught up there. And I gave you just a reference there to others that have been caught up to heaven. Enoch walked with the Lord and was not. He was translated that he should not see death. So Enoch is a type of this rapture. We know Elijah was went up into heaven with the chariots of God. Nope. Elijah didn't die either. And then hopefully next year we'll study the book of Revelation, and John was caught up into heaven, and he is able to tell of things that he saw. But there are some things in the Bible that are sealed up and they're not to be revealed, and so Paul experienced that. And there's a place in Daniel to seal up the vision so that it's not written or spoken. And so there are times that happens, but anyway, this is really a wild thing that Paul's talking about. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians now. And chapter 12 again. And whoops, I went to the wrong. Here we go. And if someone can read 5, 6, and 7.
I'm good.
All right, Larry, go for it.
Of such in one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. And at the bottom of your front page is I had the word conceal, and I don't know if I did. Whenever I, you know, Paul says that he's not able to speak about these things, I think of this verse in Proverbs, where it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. And there I gave you the verse as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So anyway, that's beautiful, isn't it?
Aren't there like things on the back of the Bible, like seven seals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some seals there, and most of them are seven. Yeah, you're right.
So, Steve, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it because I know when we get to heaven, we don't see all these things that
yeah.
Speak about now?
Yeah. Well, and I think, too, you know, when Jesus starts speaking in parables, he says for you, it's given, but you know, if your heart's not right, you know, people are not going to understand it. You know, he spoke in parables. What does he say there in Matthew 13?
It's foolishness to unsaved.
That's a good question, Sherry.
I wonder why this happened, why did that happen, and we don't know, and we won't know until we get to heaven.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, so he tells his disciples, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. For in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Esaias, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and ye shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. He says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So I do think that, you know, even Job, Sherry, you know, Job said, the thing that I understood not, I searched out, so, or the cause. So Job was searching and seeking God, so he wants us to do that. So I do think that God kind of conceals something, you know, why is this illness happening? Why did this person die? Why did this happen? And I think Belinda's right that, you know, this side of eternity we may not know, but, you know, ultimately it is so we will seek the Lord, we'll search it out, and we'll cry out to Him. And, you know, with Paul, he said that's what we're getting ready to study here, is that Larry read, he besought the Lord three times that this thorn in the flesh should be removed, and basically God said, no, you know, my strength is made perfect in weakness, and my grace is sufficient. And I don't know if that kind of answers.
Did you tell us this vision?
Well, he had some kind of infirmity, and it's a messenger from Satan, and we can speculate a little bit. But so let's look back at 2 Corinthians now, because in verse 5 that Larry read. It said that he's not going to glory except in his infirmities. And I gave you a reference there in Galatians. I put it on your handout. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So I had you put the word cross in there. So those are the things that Paul is glorying, that he has infirmities and he's just going to trust in the cross of Christ, because by it he's crucified with the Lord and unto the world. And then in verse 6, Paul basically said, I could boast more. You know, I have had these visions and revelations. But I'm only going to tell you things that you've seen of me or heard about me. So he's going to speak the truth and kind of confirm those things. And then in verse 7, we get to his thorn in the flesh. And what does thorns represent in the Bible? Was it sin? Is that what you said? Yeah, kind of the curse.
Stake and cross, maybe.
Maybe his cross, because he had the crown of thorns. When Adam and Eve sinned, the ground was cursed and it began to produce thorns and nettles, you know, stickery bushes. And, thorns are what, choke out the word and different things like that. But look why he gave him. It says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. This is the thing that, I learned this week, and I wanted to give you guys this. I thought this was interesting.
Across the bear.
It's in verse 7 here, lest I should be exalted above measure. There's one Greek word for exalted above measure. And it's only two times in our Bible. And we look at the other time it's mentioned.
Lift up or raised over something.
It's mentioned about the Antichrist. The Antichrist opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God. So Paul was given this thorn in the flesh so that he wouldn't become like that, right? This was going to keep him humble, keep him trusting the Lord, lest he, look, I've had all these revelations, I'm super guy, and super Christian, and I'm right up there with God. And so this thorn was given him like to humble him, and it did. And so maybe we can even look at our own situations differently, so that we don't get puffed up or exalted as well. And I gave you in your handout, just, it's similar to Israel's enemies. It says that, in fact, let's all go back to Judges. Let's see. Any one of those was good. Go to the Judges 2, because it'll be easy to find right there toward the front of our Bible. But do you know that Israel's enemies, thank you, Larry, they were given to them to be thorns to them. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Yeah, they didn't. Joshua's Judges. Okay. 2:3. Who's got that? Mary, have you read yet?
Yeah. Judges 2:3.
Yeah.
And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house.
Wait a minute.
For they come.
That's not
Judges, is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm in Joshua. I thought that didn't sound
too good. It doesn't have a...
Okay. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, and there's three or four or five times in the Old Testament that Israel's enemies were like a thorn, and it's painful, it's a reminder, it's all those things.
catch that little prick.
It doesn't have
yeah.
Right. Just so it's to go there. Mm-hmm. Just enough to irritate
it. It's an irritant. And it even says, and Larry, you're like me. I read that word. It's like buffet. It's like the buffet, but it's buffet. And it's, so it's a little different. I think it may be spelled the same as buffet. But this word buffet, and it's not Jimmy. So anyway, I thought that was pretty wild, the thing about not being exalted. And we'll look at one more here. This thorn in the flesh. Look at this word buffet. So it's in here like five times. And I think I gave you one of them on your handout. Yeah, from Mark. It says, and some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say to him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. So it was kind of like a beating. And he was, this thorn in the flesh, there it is. It's in there five times. It's to strike with the fist, give one a blow with the fist, to maltreat or to treat with violence. And anyway, we don't really lean on the Greek like we're saying, but if you just cross-reference the word buffet, you see that even in English, at Christ's crucifixion, they were hitting him. They were hitting our Lord. And Paul says, man, that's like the messenger of Satan. It's just beating me down. It's painful. It's constant. So he's reminded of it. And so he just keeps having to go to the Lord and trust him with these things like you and I do, right? So now back to 2 Corinthians. And so Paul prayed three times. That's what it said. Why don't somebody read verses 8, 9, and 10. Carol, are you there?
Yeah. For this thing I brought, besought the Lord, that might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most glorify therefore, well, I rather glorify in weakness, that power of Christ may rest upon me.
Yeah, read one more.
Okay. Therefore I take pleasure the reproof.
Pleasure in infirmities.
Each Christ for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I'm strong.
Yeah, thank you. So in verse 8 that Carol read, he besought the Lord thrice, and someone pointed out, I mean, there is something to, you know, praying for something at least three times, because you remember the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed three times, you know, not my will but thine be done. So there are some examples of, you know, praying three times, but the key really is not the number, but to pray till they get an answer, right? And Paul got his answer, and the Lord said, no, you know, son, you know, if I didn't give you this, it's actually a messenger from Satan. And what does the word messenger be mean? It is like a disciple, but
can they bring news?
It's the word angel. And we had a guy here Friday night named Angel, and he brought us a good message. So God allowed the devil to persecute his servant Paul here. It was a messenger from Satan that was buffeting him. And then my ministry point here. It's the devil's angel, so it is a demonic type of thing. And I think in my next little section there, I'm going to speculate what this could be. But I'm trying to think now. This next word, this is we don't use this word, but we need to pray continually and with importunity. And it's a Bible word, but I looked up the definition. I forget what it is, but I just see the word important in it. Like, pray, God, this is important. You know, it's important that Larry's neighbor recovers. It's important that, Mary's brother gets victory over his addiction. It's, you know, these things we pray are important.
It's persistence, especially to the point of longings.
So persistence, she's saying importunity means somewhat persistence to the point of what?
Annoyance.
It's what your kids do to you, Brian. Daddy.
You know, they say it at least three times.
Right.
Mom!
The story of the widow and the widow kept going to the king.
Yes.
And he only answered it because of the importunity or he wanted her to leave him.
Yes. Yeah. It's like she... I put that verse in there, Belinda. Yeah, look under the word importunity. The Luke 18:5. Yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So it's like he's just tired of her keep coming to him, so he's going to help her. So that's good. So good thoughts. Thanks, Angie. So God's answer to Paul's prayer was that his thorn was part of his plan for him, and that's pretty hard to swallow, isn't it? That Paul's thorn was part of God's plan for him. I just think that's as we look at our own lives, we may be. In our situation of our own doing, but we all have had things that happened to us for no reason, it seems like, but God allowed it. But anyway, I speculated here that his thorn may have been his eyesight. And let's look at this place in Galatians. We got 15 minutes. Let's go to Galatians, the next book over. Yeah, on the road to Damascus, he was blinded 3 days. But let's look at this Galatians 4.
Which could be why he continued to have eye problems.
Yeah. So this is the word I had you put in your blank. His eyesight. Amit and Pam, we're back there to you guys. Or Teresa, do you guys have the Galatians 4? The 4:13 through 15? One of you three.
Through infirmity of the flesh, I preach the gospel unto you in birth. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye desire not, nor reject it, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I very pray that if I had been possible, if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me.
Yeah, so that's one indication. He talks about his infirmity of the flesh. He preached the gospel. He said, if it was possible, you guys would have given me your own eyes. You'd have plucked out your own eyes and given to me. So there's one thing that makes you think he had some eyesight issues. And then go to Galatians 6. And
so was that after, you think that was after the Corinthians that he went to Galatians?
I'm not sure.
Because maybe that's why God did it. Because of the purpose. So that he would maybe have something to do with it. Maybe they're preaching the gospel.
Yeah, I guess I kind of forget the order of...
Yeah, that's just a thought.
Was it his first mission? Or?
This was his second mission that he had started the church at Corinth.
be the purple one.
Well, just because my Bible says this evident physical sickness led to Paul's early ministry among the Galatians. So maybe his itinerary changes kind of what it's saying.
Yeah, no, that's good thought. It's, you're getting into the history of it there. That's good. Pam, have you got the 6? Is it 6:11? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so he wrote a large letter, and Galatians is only 6 chapters, so we don't think it means that he's written this, you know, lots of words, like a long letter, but they think maybe he used like big handwriting because he had eye trouble. But anyway, regardless of what his thorn in the flesh was, those are just some ideas. Some people say, you know, it's right after 2 Corinthians 11 where he listed his shipwreck and imprisonments and beating, you know, just those are maybe the thorns that he physically, you know, kept getting arrested and mistreated. And so, but anyway, like Kevin said, you know, on the road to Damascus when he was blinded, I gave you the verse on your handout, Acts 9:16. After he was saved, it says, "For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." So Paul greatly suffered, but the Lord tells him that his grace is sufficient. And so it is for you and I. You know, we studied the book of Job, and, you know, probably no one except for maybe Paul was, you know, as mistreated or had as much difficulties as Job. And yet the Lord recovered him and restored him. And Paul was looking forward. He, you know, he said he had crown of glory laid up for him and all those that love his appearing. And then in verse 10 that... I forget who read, maybe Carol read, verse 10. He mentioned some other things that were reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses. And so these are all things that were given to Paul so he would not be exalted.
This shows here, like Damascus is here, so he's been coming from here to there when he got blinded. And then Galatia's up here, so... it looks like he made a lot of little stops through there.
Yep.
So, but Corinth is way over here, so it would have been from Damascus to Galatia.
Yeah, okay. So maybe he did go there first, Brian. So this next little... I'm just kind of throwing in some of my other little studies if I have room on my handout. And so Christ is seen in 2 Corinthians. In chapter 1, he was seen as our consoler. He's the God of all comfort. He's the Father of mercies. And he consoles us so that we can, you know, comfort others when they go through tribulation. He's our founder. In chapter 4, he's our light, the glorious light of the gospel that's blinded. The God of this world blinds others, lest the glorious light of the gospel be revealed to them. In chapter 5, he's our judge. We talked about the judgment seat of Christ, where we're given account of the things done in this body, whether they be good or bad. And also in chapter 5, he's the reconciler. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And in chapter 9, if you remember, he's that unspeakable gift. And then in chapter 10, it mentions he's our owner. I thought that was interesting. And chapter 11, he's this jealous God who wants us to be a chaste virgin. He's our husband. And then your last blank there that we just looked at was he's our power. He's that the power of God may rest upon us. And so we go forth with his power, and that's all we need as we adopt a street today. And I gave you a reference from Isaiah there that He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. So we don't go out in our own power, our own strength, but it's His power and His strength. And we say amen to that, don't we?
Amen.
Any other thoughts? Or I don't see Jaime and Aura today, so we need to maybe pray for them if they're sick or anything.
She said they're on a trip.
You're on a trip. Well, that's good.
On a trip to see relatives.
To see who? Relatives? Okay. Jim's got his Sherry shirt on today.
Oh, yeah. Pray for Jimmy, too, man.
This Jimmy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not doing too well.
No, it's Shane.
Well,
Shane's doing all right as far as I know.
Good. Good. All right. Well, if you join us online, thanks for that. And I think I did record this today, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll dismiss a little bit early. Next week, I think I'm preaching down at Passaic, so Jim will lead our class next week. That sound right, Jim?
Yes,
sir. And so
what are you preaching on?